Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Saturday to everybody. I am one of the C's. I am Cakes. The other C is Chad from Chad Dukes versus the World. We're combining forces to hopefully entertain you and take you through these choppy waters, as Chad likes to say, on Chad Dukes versus the World on this gloomy Saturday afternoon. By the way, nice Alice Cooper intro. JT the Vic, a tip of the hat to you, my friend.
Well, who do you think picked that?
You know what? That is true. A tip of the hat to Mr. Fookerton, who assisted JT the Vic with that one.
Vic wouldn't know Alice Cooper if he walked in on him with his mother. Let me say this. I love Vic to death. I tolerate Vic. He was a producer on our show. But nobody fades a music bet out quicker than JT the Vic. Yeah. I was kind of hoping we could do a little rocking out Kicks because you and I both like to rock hard.
Absolutely.
Not going to happen today.
You know, I will give JT the Vic, I will give him $5 US. If he can give me Alice Cooper's real first name, I know this money couldn't be safer. It's basically locked up in Fort Knox. I mean, JT the Vic is much younger than I am. I'm 49. I'm going to guess Vic is in his 30s at this point. I don't even know.
Somewhere
in his 30s?
33.
Yeah, so he won't know this, but I'll just put that out there for him because I do like to gamble. I miss gambling and haven't done it for a while, so I'm feeling a little sassy on a Saturday afternoon.
You just gave him enough time to Google it, though, Cakes. You understand that, right? He's internet savvy.
He's a man of honor. I'm going to assume that he's going to dig in the recesses of his brain with all that Nats information that it has and all that video game nonsense that he has up there, and maybe it's in the deep, dark recesses of his brain. I don't know.
Well, I think the answer, guys, and it's clearly Tom. Is it Tom?
It's clearly not Tom.
Is he an angry bald man that waves his arms around during the midday show?
It is not. It is certainly not that person. I'm not even 100% sure, but I think his first name, I'm going to Google it now.
It's Vincent.
It's Vincent, like Fournier or Fournier is his real name.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's in his 70s, and he's still touring, by the way.
It was weird because he's got a new pinball machine out, Alice Cooper's Nightmare Castle. It's excellent.
Very good.
When I was in Phoenix doing radio, Cakes, he's from there. Mm-hmm. So he was a really big deal, and he would. I think he does that. He does a nationally syndicated like hair metal show that's on like every bottom. Like if you get out of the top 150 markets in radio, I guarantee Alice Cooper's hair metal show is on your rock station.
I don't know why I haven't listened to it. Why have I been sleeping on it for all these years, Chad?
Did you tell everybody last Saturday night when I was tweeting you what to listen to?
Last Saturday night, what were you? I'm trying to track with my last week's felt like 8 weeks, so I apologize that I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, all the days run together too. I mean, what Saturday is any different from Tuesday now?
It's not. They're all the same.
So I was out around the. You can't. All the bars are closed, right? So I can't go out and feed the demon. So we went out to the bonfire and I had the little Bluetooth speaker and I said, you know what? I'm tired of my own music and. I'm tired of these Apple playlists and the Spotify. There's no DJ. I don't feel connected to the real world.
Sure.
So I just started scrolling through the classic rock stations on the radio.com app, if you can believe it, Cakes.
Oh, look at this company, man. I mean, we're 7 minutes into the show, less than 7 minutes, and already a radio.com plug. I love it. Okay, so good.
Did you know there's a rewind button on the radio.com app? I'm not sure you're aware of that.
I have heard that. It is. I think it's an exclusive feature, radio.com. Go download it today.
If they worried about the stock prices as much as they worried about promoting that radio.com app, I think we'd be a lot better off with the company. I mean,
trust me, as a guy who has way more shares than he should have of the stock we will not name at this point, yeah, I would like them to worry about it too. But, you know, we all know what's going on in the world. We're just trying to get through the tough times. So we'll deal with that at a later point. But trust me, it's distressing.
So I landed, I was going through, and I said, I was looking at markets, Cakes, and I was like, there's no way Los Angeles has a good classic rock station. You know, you got to find a nice white trash burg.
Well, and like, let me guess, like,
I bet you nail this.
Let me guess, a good white trash, like small to medium market that you're just scrolling through. Let's go Des Moines. How about Des Moines?
Wow. Nope, but that's what tonight I'm going on the radio.com app to find out whatever the Des Moines Classic Rock Station
okay,
is.
All right.
I found WNCX Cleveland's Classic Rock.
Oh, that's right. That's and right. Now it's jogging my memory now. Okay,
the guy's name is Kenny Kidd, and he hosts all requests Saturday night from 7 to midnight. First of all, what a gig.
What a name, by the way. Like we were talking about during the update before we came on, I'm sure his name is Kenny Kidd. Okay.
It's a perfect radio name.
It's a great radio name. There's no doubt about it.
I'm listening to it, and he's playing Tesla, and he's playing Whitesnake. Like, he's playing stuff I've never heard played on the radio.
Chad Dukes, you do not know the just hair metal bonanza triple bill, speaking of Tesla, that I attended at Towson University when I had my hellish, terrible, redneck, white trash Maryland accent back in the day at the Towson Center. Here's the lineup. Right. Triple bill, my friend. Badlands, you probably don't remember them.
I don't.
But their guitarist was Jake E. Lee, who played for this famous heavy metal frontman, Go, in the mid-80s. Jake E. Lee, guitarist for who?
Ronnie James Dio.
You're very close. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, you're super close.
Good aim from Big Shooter there.
That was really good aim for you. So that was the opener. And then your next two bands, Great White and Tesla. How about that, Chad? You
know, I might buy a ticket to that. I don't know if I would regret it or not. But
you probably would.
How much was that ticket back when you went to see that show?
This is probably 1989, right around where hair metal was dying its last few gasping breaths. Probably $15, I would guess, something like that.
When you can find a radio station that's not playing this, like just Stairway to Heaven and Black Dog, and you can't get no satisfaction over and over again, I was very excited because it was out of character to hear those songs on the radio. So I would highly suggest the radio.com app and listen to all requests Saturday nights on I think it's WCNX in Cleveland.
Very good. I'm going to have to do that. I'll listen to Kenny Kidd in Cleveland.
It's my Kenny Kidd.
Check out what's going on in Des Moines. Maybe what's another good, like, white trash?
Grand Rapids.
Just outpost, like Grand Rapids, or, like, here's a perfect one, like Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, they probably have an amazing white trash slash
you know how
classic
hard
rock
Tulsa
station.
Rocks, Cakes. They probably rock. Well, you know, that's where
they rock the hardest, Chad.
Rocklahoma. That's where Richard Christie went and was interviewing all the people about how hard they rock.
I mean, Rocklahoma is just a collection of nothing but, I don't know, it's probably 50 bands whose heyday were, I don't know, back in the 70s or 80s, early 90s. And they all just go to White Trash, Oklahoma, and as you like to say, they rock hard for an entire weekend.
Because that's all they know how to do is rock.
yes.
I got a hypothetical for you.
Okay. I do like hypotheticals.
I'm dead serious about this.
Okay.
Both people do an appearance on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Who do more people show up for? I'm dead serious now.
All right.
Cal Ripken or Ronnie Mund?
Cal or Ronnie Mund?
I'm dead serious.
That's a very good question. I like the hypothetical.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to say because of the proximity to Baltimore and the fact that he's an icon, I'm going to go Cal because I think Ronnie Mund is a little more niche-y.
Okay.
But because I've met Cal, I've been lucky enough to meet Cal over the years, I would have to go see Ronnie Mund myself.
I know. If Cal Ripken was in your backyard, you'd close the blinds, but you drive all the way downtown to D.C. to see Ronnie Mund. I know you would.
Absolutely. I would be there. Big Shooter would be there. A lot of other Stern fans would be there. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I think you're wrong. I think Cal Ripken has been around so long and done so many appearances. I mean, he was at every Aberdeen Ironbirds game for
yes,
like five
correct.
Seasons. I think that it would be a bigger deal because Ronnie Munn doesn't come to D.C. often.
Cal Ripken has been in the appearance game so long.
Yeah.
I want to say that he was doing appearances back at what used to be Wild World. Does Chad Dukes remember Wild World Six Flags?
Went to Wild World because it was cheaper than King's Dominion, of course. Well,
then Chad Dukes, he might have run across his boy Flakes when I used to, though we're a few years apart, probably not. When your boy Flakes was filling up the sipper carts and managing some of the fast food establishments at Wild World back in the day.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was
you have to have a summer job at some point, Chad.
It became Six Flags, right, after
it did.
That?
It
is it gone now? I think. Is it gone?
No, I believe it's still up and running.
No.
Yes.
Well, it's not going to be after coronavirus.
I believe.
That much.
I mean, unless something happened in the last 6 months that I'm unaware of, Six Flags still up and running despite Daniel Snyder being on the board of directors and trying to run it into the ground as best he could.
I got a quick analogy for you, Cakes.
Okay.
If you go back and listen to tapes of yourself on the air 10 years ago, and
yes.
you listen to what you were allowed to say back then.
Right.
In the context of your 2020 pearl-clutching ears, it's actually, you can barely fathom it. Like,
it's
you can
shocking.
Barely believe that was the world. I think after this is all said and done and we're going to come out of our houses.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gymnasiums might go the way of the dodo, and so might theme parks. I was thinking about this the other day, not
yeah.
just because I don't want to work out, but we've been beaten over the head now with this social distancing crap for so severely that the thought of going into a gym where everyone's touching everything and everyone's sweating, it almost feels like it should be against the law.
Right.
And I don't know. It was so quickly that my mindset changed. And then you just brought up Wild World. I said, can you imagine anyone getting into like a wave pool now?
Oh.
Everyone is just going to be too terrified to do any of that stuff.
I mean, Chad, just from a personal level, like I love poker. The Bulletin, your boy Flakes likes poker.
This is what the first I'm hearing of this.
And I like to see flops. And I'm sure I'll be back at MGM National Harbor when it's up and running. But as you mentioned, like just touching cards. Chips going back and forth between people. Everybody's touching their faces. Like, everybody's going to have to kind of, like, reset the way they act out in public now. Like, I think you're going to see a ton more people, like, wearing masks in public, wearing gloves all the time, carrying hand sanitizer everywhere they go.
That's
just
lame.
Because this coronavirus thing has just completely changed the way we're living our lives. It's scary.
Yeah, it has us working for free on a
working
Saturday.
Working for free on a weekend? I mean, what? You know what? It is end of days, Chad. We're at the end of days at this point.
All right, let's tease what we got coming up here, Cakes. You actually, have you ever had bourbon before?
I have, but I think I need a manly man like Big Shooter, and maybe we can do this when J.P. Finley comes on, because I know he likes the bourbon too. Maybe we'll do a live bourbon tasting. You can pour a glass at the compound there. I'll pour a glass here, and you can kind of coach me through it because I've never been a bourbon guy, and I feel like I'm missing out. I've got the FOMO, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, I know you like to have what, two Miller Lights and an Advil. That's pretty much your cocktail of choice.
I'll stretch to three during pandemics. Maybe four.
I think I had three Miller Lights by the time it clicked over to noon yesterday, to be honest with you.
Right.
The show yesterday was a little dicey. All right, we can get through it, and then we can talk a little bit about the Brown stuff. Because I, you know, what am I? I'm 41 now, Kate, which is sad. But it didn't click for me until about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I had no interest in it whatsoever. So I think it's everybody at their own pace. J.P. Finley's coming on with us. I did want to – we'll talk some sports, but –
yeah.
You and I kind of had a fun conversation yesterday about we both have a passion for defunct football leagues.
So we do, on, yes. We're weird.
When you came on CDVTW, I was like, well, we should probably talk about that. And then we also, I know that you have a lot of obscure jerseys. I own a Chris Doering Washington Redskins jersey. I kind of want to go through the list of stuff that should make the comeback of uniforms in sport. The you and I would bring back, and maybe we can take some calls on that. Does that work?
Absolutely. You want to do that next?
Let's do that next.
Let's
because
do that, and you can drive the bus in next, and I'll do the following segment. We'll do the back and forth bit.
I'll be Sandra Bullock next segment, and then you're her the third segment. Is that
Very
what it is?
Good. Yes, that
right,
works.
Then you take us to break, Kate.
All right. It's your first inaugural, the maiden voyage of the CNC Radio Factory on 106.7 The Fan. It's Chad and Cakes. We'll be right back on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just tell that wildcat to keep it easy behind the wheel. That's my Dennis Hopper from Speed, by the way.
I like it. I like your Dennis Hopper. I didn't know you had Dennis Hopper in you, but I like it.
Well, he called her the wildcat because she had a Kansas State jacket on, I believe.
No. I I hate to nitpick you, big shooter.
Yes.
I believe she was wearing Arizona Wildcats. I think they were gym shorts.
No, absolutely not.
This is bringing the show to a screeching halt, Chad. I believe I'm correct in this. I think I'm pretty good on my speed trivia.
If it's Arizona, maybe, but it was a jacket. I'm telling you, she was wearing a Letterman's jacket or something like that.
So it's a jacket. So you're sure that it's a jacket? And we're not talking about like champion type mesh gym shorts. This brings the bus she's driving to a screeching halt. We have to figure this out before we go on.
I'm telling you, it's like a sweat coat.
Okay, you could be right, but I do know that it's Arizona and not Kansas State. Now, Wildcats is a very boring mascot. Every other team is a Wildcat, so I can understand the confusion here. But I think it's Arizona because I'm pretty sure that Speed happened out west.
I'm giving you that. Maybe she's a Los Angeles Wildcats fan of the XFL. It's possible. Yes,
maybe she was. Maybe 30-plus years prior to them ever taking the field. Correct.
Right. So somebody go ahead and tweet us if you know what the garment was. I'm capitulating to the Arizona Wildcats. But
yes.
She's not wearing gym shorts, Cake. She's like wearing like a sundress in that movie.
You're probably right, but I'm pretty sure it's Arizona Wildcats. It makes Drab T-shirt very upset because he's an Arizona State Sun Devil, for those that don't know.
If they if they go undefeated during a football season, he'll become an Arizona Wildcats fan almost immediately.
This is true. He does root for, I don't know, a dozen, maybe 15 different teams.
He's a terrible person. All right, so it's CNC Radio Factory. I'm Chad Dukes. There is Johnny Cake's hot dog right there. We're both in our respective homes in our underwear. All right, so let's open this up to the callers, Cakes, at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. And I always like to keep it as easy as possible. Your callers aren't as stupid as mine are on Chad Dukes versus the world.
I think they're from the same pool, generally.
You think so?
Yeah. Definitely I'm pretty sure. We're dipping in the same pool there.
I think it's that wave pool at Wild World you were talking about.
It may have been.
Reproductive fluid and that thing, I'm sure. Let's do one you would get rid of immediately and one you would bring back immediately throughout all of sport. Let's take all of sport into context, basketball, hockey, baseball, football, whatever you would want to do.
All right.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. One that needs to come back immediately. And I touched on the go-to yesterday when I guessed it on Chad Dukes versus the World, the Hartford Whaler. So I'm not going to go with that for a second straight day. This is kind of weird. And because baseball Cakes is, I'm very drilled down in all things baseball. So I would bring back the Seattle Mariners trident theme with the blue and the yellow. I would ditch their boring, I don't know, they're like a dark blue now and maybe like a sea green. And they've got, I think, like a compass as part of their logo. It couldn't be more boring. The trident was a great look for the Mariners. I would ditch the current scheme and I would bring that back.
That's a really good call, except here's one thing that I think where there's a little bit of an age gap, Cakes, even though roughly there's not that much of a time in between you and I. When they switched to that teal color, I remember when they did it. It was such a big deal, and it was right around the time, I believe, the San Jose Sharks, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Mariners, for whatever reason in the early 90s, that was outrageously popular in Lake Braddock Secondary School. I mean, you had kids wearing Mariners hats all over the place.
It's funny you bring that up because I bought my wife because I'm white trash.
Oh, no.
I bought her a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket. Probably, I don't know, it had to be 20 plus years ago.
Of course.
And I think up to about 5 years ago, it was still living in my house. I finally parted with it.
Was it black? Because I think every kid...
It was black, yes. Yeah. But there was teal and purple all over the place.
Of course.
Like, if you didn't have teal in your uniform combo, you were uncool at that point.
All right, I got so that's the one that you would bring back. What would you get rid of right now?
I would immediately kill, and I think the plans are already in place for it, the Cleveland Browns with the Cleveland across the top of the numbers on their uniform, and I believe down the pants as well. I think that is an awful look, and it needs to be gone immediately.
And they change, I don't know what it is with the Browns, but they change their uniforms like every other year.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's and I like uniforms changing, and I like seeing new logos and all that stuff, so I'm selfish. But there is some sort of correlation, Cakes, between teams that are good and teams that don't screw around with their look all that much.
Right.
I mean, you don't see the Steelers and the Yankees, and you know, you go down the list, the Lakers aren't changing their uniforms all that much.
Right, like the Packers aren't changing, and you know the Raiders, they're not changing their look. There are certain iconic looks, you know, across all different sports where you're just not going to mess with it.
The one I said yesterday is the Houston Oilers. I said I don't care if it's the Texans or if it's the Titans, whoever it is. I want to see that, and specifically the white jersey with the white helmet and the pastel blue oil rig on the side. I love that one. But if we're going to move on from those, if we're not going to bring that up, I'm a sucker for orange creamsicle Buccaneers uniforms. I know they're putrid. I know everybody, I probably would fatigue on them after a long while. But those uniforms, as compared to the monstrosity, the alarm clock uniforms they have now, this is another team, by the way, scheduled to change. I think they're going back to the work done Mike Allstott style of jersey, Cakes, which I'm in favor of. But I would just go all the way and bring back that creamsicle orange. I love those.
Yeah, jerseys. I'm with you. Now, there are just so many bad, you know, connotations with that uniform because the team was historically just a drag of society. They couldn't win any games. But that look, I think if you tweak it a little bit, streamline it, I think it's so distinctive. You know, it'll jump off the screen at you because it's not your typical dark colors and, you know, the colors kind of blend in. I mean, creamsicle, like orange with white, with you know, like pastel type colors, I think is a good look. And it distinguishes them. It doesn't just fall into, you know, like it looks like everybody else's color pattern and color scheme.
The one that I would, this is going to be a bit of a cop out because I'm an NBA fan. I know you're not, for the most part. You like the Wizards, but
sure.
I like the NBA as a product a lot more than I like college basketball. I would do away with virtually everything they're doing as far as their jerseys go. First of all, this is going to sound really old man-ish, Cakes.
Right. I think I know where you're going with this. And
I don't know the teams that are playing half the times I tune in because it says NOLA or it says the district or it says the city or the land or Los Spurs. It's all this different stuff. It's like, put the name of the team or the name of the city on the front of your jersey so I know who you are, stupid. And I think that's probably outdated and they're doing this because it resonates with a younger market and the NBA does a really good job of kind of connecting with younger viewers where a lot of these other sports don't. But I'll just flip on an NBA game and it'll take me who the hell are these two teams that are playing? Because they're just they will randomly have five or six different uniform packages they implement.
The wackiest NBA jersey I've seen of late, and it needs to go into a bonfire immediately, is the Dallas Mavericks that looks like graffiti, and I believe it says Mavs, and it looks terrible. It looks like a four-year-old designed it. Who in their right mind would purchase that and walk around wearing that? I mean, again, this sounds old man-ish, but That is a terrible look. I agree. There's a lot of teams where they come out on the floor and like the Raptors come out sometimes. And I don't know what they're wearing.
I don't know
either. They're wearing uniforms that are throwbacks from like 60 years ago. And I just don't know what's going on.
I mean, sometimes I feel like their jerseys say "We the North," and I'm like, wait a minute, is that Minnesota? Like, what are we talking about? And right. Also, the Mavs, I guarantee they're trying to do, because that Miami, I got to say, the Heat wearing the Miami Vice jerseys.
That works.
I love those.
Great look.
The Mavs one, I guarantee it's because, you know, it's kitschy. 90s nostalgia now is so big that they just want it to look like the logo for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I guarantee right. That's what that Mavs that,
well, you know what?
About.
That if that's the look they were going for, they pretty much nailed it. They captured it.
All right. I think we've got this covered. Let's go ahead and solicit the calls. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Give us a uniform, any sport that you would, as Cake said, shoot into the sun. Give us one that you think absolutely has to come back. Here's one that's polarizing, Cax, and I wanted to bounce it off you.
Yeah.
The Bears throwbacks last year with the striped socks and the Wolverine, Michigan Wolverines helmets. I went around on Thanksgiving telling everybody how much I loved those uniforms,
yeah.
And people were spitting in my face. Did you dig those?
I thought they were decent. I don't know if I would – you know, trot them out for more than like, you know, like a Thanksgiving Day type game or once or twice a year. But I don't mind. Like when the Packers wore their wackadoo uniforms a few years ago, I like it when they shake it up for a game or two. Do I want them doing that for the entire season? No. But if you've got, you know, like your Detroit Lions playing on Thanksgiving and they've got, you know, the complete silver helmet with no logo on it, with the high socks, I think that's a cool look. Like once or twice a year. I can live with it.
I don't like any throwback uniform that has nothing on the helmet. And that's why it frustrates me so bad. The Redskins have some of the best throwback uniforms, I think, in the entire league. And they continue to wear that horrific one with like the matte gold pants and the helmet where they just peel the stripes off the top.
Right.
I understand they have to keep the same helmet, but throw a spear on the side. Wear those 70th anniversaries. I even like the Ronald McDonald, you know, mustard pants with the R on the side of the helmet more than I love the crap they've been wearing the past few years.
By the way, what is the deal with the NFL limiting teams to like one helmet shell? I think that's changing in 2021. So
why isn't that changing now? It should change right now.
The NFL is a $12 billion a year entity at this point, maybe bigger. Every team is worth $2 or $3 billion. You're telling me that every team is limited to one helmet per team? What's going on? What is happening there?
Well, there's got to be a happy medium, Cakes, because clearly the NFL is more conservative and the NBA is more progressive with its as far as like relaxing what it can do with its uniforms. But it can go too far. I like the advertisements on the front of the jersey. I don't know if that would fly in the NFL. I think one of the reasons why, you know, people dig it is because they know what to expect. There's what, and I think that's why there's pushback against Thursday Night Football and
right.
You know, these unconventional, because people know what to expect with the NFL, and that goes all the way down to the stupid uniforms and them finding guys for wearing the wrong socks.
Yeah, but you know what? 10 years ago, Chad, I would have told you you're crazy if NBA players would have had patches on their uniforms, and that's the norm now. That's happened now. So, like in 10 years, you might see an NFL jersey with an ad on the front. I mean, it's just another way for owners to try to monetize what's going on the field. It seems like heresy to talk about it at this point, but at some point, I'm guessing all of the leagues are going to have ads on their uniforms. The NBA has kind of been the, you know, at the forefront of that.
Well, I think actually, I mean, first of all, NASCAR fans are sitting here laughing their asses off right. Listening to this conversation. Isn't it more, and I'm not a fan, I don't like it, but I'm not stupid. I acknowledge it, popularity and worldwide dominance. It's soccer, like Premier League soccer. When stupid Bodie was my producer, he would buy a different jersey every year because they updated the sponsor. He was literally
right.
Spending another $150 to get somebody else's commercial on the front of his shirt. It's become like part of the culture when people watch Premier League soccer. I think they're kind of the torchbearers for that.
Yeah. Was Bodie like a trust fund kid? I mean, what
yes.
Was he doing? Like,
yes. The answer is yes.
I want to say he was spending like $25 or $30 on socks.
Well, here's
never
what he was
heard of such a thing.
He was recording podcasts with Drab 10 minutes before my radio show started. That's what he was doing. Got himself in quite a bit of trouble.
Well, you know, it is easy to buy every English Premier League jersey when you have no kids and you have tons of disposable income. So that I guess would help.
By the way, you just described my lifestyle, my friend. Let's go to line one to talk to Peter in Burke. Peter, you're on the CNC Radio Factory.
Yes, good afternoon. Am I talking with Clavillis or Cole?
I don't get it.
I don't get that joke either.
That's CNC, the Music Factory. I sent you my picture of the three, no fewer than three CNC Music Factory CD singles, which...
That's their name, and the name of the guy, it's a guy and a girl, right?
No, well, the guy was Freedom Williams, the guy who used to rap.
Yeah.
And then the girl was like Zelma Davis, and it was one of those pseudo Milli Vanilli controversies where the actual singer was, you know, a Lizzo-looking woman, but in the music videos they had like
an Instagram model. What were their names again? Clavillis and what?
They were the producers. They were the guys you photoshopped your heads onto.
Oh,
COVID
okay.
And Corona. Those
yes.
are the two guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go ahead, hey, sir. So what is your question? Screeching halt.
Well, this will probably be an old man get off my lawn, but the uniforms I would boot are the Color Fast or the Color Forms or whatever. In the
Color NFL Rush.
Color Rush, sorry. So, you know, those worked for a season or two, but I'd much rather, like you were saying, much rather see the throwbacks that look like they should be wearing leather helmets with them. Those are pretty cool. And I'm known on the show as the insufferable Braves fan, of course, so that the uniform I would bring back is I used to have a polyester jersey, like light baby blue, sky blue, with the cursive A on it. So I guess maybe that's a little campy, but that's the one I would bring back.
I had one of those. I love that uniform. I'm assuming you're a Junkies caller. Thank you very much for the call, but I appreciate it because I don't know who he is. Do you know the uniform that he's talking about, Cakes?
I do. It's like a light blue with, I want to say, Braves and like a cursive script that went across the chest.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And it looked like a T-shirt, and so there were no buttons or anything like that. So there used to be this place down in Atlanta. My brother used to live there. It was called Secondhand Sports, and it was right in the height of the throwback jersey popularity resurgence, right. Which the Junkies bought into heavily, from what I recall.
Certainly did. I had a Ray Lewis. I had way too many.
God, I wish that would come. I mean, cargo pants and throwback jerseys. If we could get those back, Kate.
Chad, you don't understand. I had a Ray Lewis University of Miami jersey that was probably, I don't know, like a size 56. It was like three people legitimately could have fit inside that jersey.
For some reason, you could not wear one of those things that even remotely fit your torso.
No.
If you were going to wear one.
Absolutely not.
I bought one of the jersey that he is talking about, that Atlanta Braves throwback. I bought one of those just because I liked it so much. I agree with him. I would do all kinds of just the Brewers jersey, the Robin Yount era Brewers with the baseball glove, with the MB on the front.
I think they're trying to bring that back.
Really?
It might be this upcoming season, if there is a season, or the following. I think they're trying to make that move away from the boring, I think it's a Milwaukee script now with a thing of wheat. I don't know how to describe it, going off the M. It's boring. Bring back the glove that spells out MB inside the glove. Everybody wants that.
Here's what I don't understand, Cakes. They've got the coolest name probably in all of sport. They're the Brewers. You can't figure out put Jim Brewer on the front of your jersey. Right. Anything would be better.
That could work.
The other one that I love, the Braves, it looked kind of like a Montreal Expos uniform, Cakes.
Yes.
Where it was red, white, and blue, and there was like a spear or something, or a feather going up the sleeve.
Yes.
And then the hat was just a lowercase A. That was a beautiful uniform.
What about the Braves logo with a screaming Indian?
Yeah, you think that one would get over now?
I think that one has been put in the in storage, as has Chief Wahoo from the Indians.
Dude, the little there's a little gnome or something that used to be the Browns mascot.
I remember what he's called.
But I think they retired him because they thought he was offensive to little people.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. Everything's going to have to be called like the lacquer thinner or just some innocuous object, the quilt.
Because you're
not going to be able to tone this back enough. I mean, I'm sure PETA people are upset with all the animal mascots. I would have to assume they are.
Yeah. And while we're still on this topic, another one that you should just kill with fire, and it has been because this is a defunct NHL franchise. The Atlanta Thrashers
maybe
had the worst logo and color scheme combination that I can remember, like, in the last 20 or 25 years in the NHL. It was just a terrible look. It was like a powdery blue, black, and then the logo was like this goldish, orange, weird bird holding a hockey stick. Like, that should never resurface, ever.
I didn't, who would have known that a thrasher is a bird? But let's say this. There's a happy ending, Cakes, because I believe they became the Winnipeg Jets.
They did.
And their logo is stupendous with the fighter plane, and it's overlaid on top of the Canadian, whatever the leaf is on the Canadian flag.
Yep.
It's clean. It's a really cool-looking sweater.
It is very good. And their older sweater was good, too, before they became defunct. Did they become the Yotes? I think they did. I think the Jets moved south and became the Phoenix Coyotes.
No, but this is the second incarnation of the Winnipeg Jets, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just saying their older jersey was pretty good, too, before they left and went to the United States.
Did the North Stars become the Avalanche? Who did they
become? No, the North Stars became the Dallas Stars.
Dallas Stars, right. I like the North Stars uniforms, too. Very simple, but yeah. I remember digging the green sweaters.
This is a good trivia question for Mr. Fukerton.
All right.
Who did the Colorado Avalanche used to be? Where did they move from? And here's a hint.
Okay.
Rumored to get an NHL expansion franchise at some point.
Well, I know it's not... I know it's not the Seattle Kraken, even though they are rumored to be one of those.
Hopefully that's the name. Are you pro or anti Kraken?
I am so pro Kraken. You have no idea, Case.
I am pro. Here's what I'm pro. I'm pro Kraken. I could live with Seattle. It might make you laugh. Seattle Sockeyes.
I love that.
That's a fish that's like native to that
sockeyed
area.
Sockeyed salmon when they're throwing it all over the fish market.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you got Seattle Sockeyes I could live with. I guess I could live with totems, though that's kind of boring. It's like an inanimate object.
That stinks.
Emeralds, eh. But the top two are clearly Kraken and Sockeyes.
If anyone voted for Emeralds over Kraken, just think, first of all, you get Kraken rum to name your stadium or your arena immediately.
Yeah.
And think of all the logo stuff you can do with some big sea monster on the front of your uniform.
Amazing. I mean, I only wear Caps gear, but I would buy so much Seattle Kraken gear.
If I have any
money left at the end, I would buy it.
No disrespect to my guy John Carlson, I would leave the Capitals immediately and become a Kraken fan. Quebec is the team that you're talking about.
The Nordiques, yes, correct.
The Nordiques.
The Quebec Nordiques. They had a weird logo, but it wasn't
very
bad.
Odd.
Wasn't bad.
Well, it was like an N with it was like circular, and I think there was a hockey stick on the front of it,
if
I recall correctly.
You are correct.
Thank you.
You're all over it.
I used to play a lot of NHLPA hockey, and then I would have to look up the uniforms because it was only NHLPA hockey, and you had the players' names, but it was not endorsed by the NHL, so you had to look up and see what all the actual uniforms were.
Correct.
All right. Phone number, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're taking your calls. One uniform you'd shoot into the sun, one that you would bring back, and anything in between. I believe that we actually have some guests. I think Nate Davis from the USA Today is coming up at 1 o'clock, and J.P. Finley will join us at 2 as the CNC Radio Factory takes you until 3 p.m. By the way, during the break, just in case any of you were wondering if Vic sucks, he he comes on, he goes, Cakes, the one I want is black and gold Wizards jersey, Nick Markakis. I'm like, that is the worst uniform. I mean, I'm still embarrassed for Wizards can't do much more to embarrass themselves. And I'm still embarrassed for them for those uniforms.
Well, initially, of course, like most right-thinking people, I thought JT the Vic was saying that that's one that should be shot directly into the sun. But no, he did a heel turn and said he loves the Wizards' bronze, black, and white uniforms that everybody despises.
It's universally thought of as one of the... By the way, Dreb T-shirt has a pair of shoes that look like those uniforms, and every time I see them, I want to spit on them. I want to spit on his shoes.
I'm sure you do. Oh, and by the way, throwback to earlier in the show, we got some Twitter help and clarity on the Sandra Bullock, what she was wearing in Speed. Arizona Wildcats jacket draped over the driver's seat as she was driving.
Go.
So there we go. So you were correct.
Well, we both technically were, because yeah. you got the college right, and I knew that she wasn't playing pickup basketball in that movie.
We'll share the credit on that one.
All right, very good. Let's go to line one, Vic, and talk to Mike calling in from Charm City. What's up, Mike? How are you?
What's up, boys? How's it going? Great
hey, Mike.
Saturday afternoon.
You,
two jerseys I would get rid of like immediately. I hate how Major League Baseball does the Players Weekend jerseys with the chintzy nicknames on the back of them. Stupid. Oh.
Yeah, it's. I mean, with baseball, kind of sells itself on like history and the grandeur of how long it's been around. That feels a little gimmicky for baseball.
It's a gimmick, but I don't mind them showing a little bit of personality by having the guys' nicknames on for what, one weekend?
Yeah, but they're, out of 162
games. Yeah, maybe some of them seem forced.
All nicknames are made up, sir. What's your second point?
Fair point. Great point. The second one I get rid of is the New Orleans Pelicans. It doesn't make sense. I think they have a great opportunity there with a sweet mascot with a pelican. I don't like the color scheme, whatever. But the one I would bring back, and I want to see what you guys think of this one, the old school 70s Pittsburgh Pirates where they had the pillbox top hat. I think those are sweet.
How many teams had the pillbox hats? You're right about that.
I don't think any at this point. I think those are...
No. I mean, how many had them, though, Cakes? It was like six or seven. Well, the Reds definitely had a pillbox hat.
Yeah.
Who else? Did the Dodgers have one?
I'm not a fan of that look. I'm just not. I can't get behind that. And by the way, going back to his take on the Pelicans, immediately they should go to the Utah Jazz and say, you're giving up your name. Utah Jazz doesn't make sense. We have a franchise in New Orleans. They're going to go back to being the New Orleans Jazz, and then you rename Utah into something that actually fits for that part of the country.
Completely disagree. First of all,
what?
It's too synonymous now with Utah. Nobody thinks of the Jazz any longer in New Orleans, even though the music is there. The Pelican is one of the greatest avian predators that has ever existed. It sounds different than every other name. And quite frankly, I like a big giant bird with a giant waddle that walks around swallowing up seagulls. Have you seen that video?
I like pelicans. Don't get me wrong. But I just think that if you have a team that has an iconic name like New Orleans Jazz, like they used to have, I think you make something that's been wronged, you right a wrong. And
Case.
You put that name back where it belongs.
If we're writing NBA wrongs, we need to look 10 miles from where we're at right now.
That's
and get,
true.
Throw Wizards into a lion pit.
It's a very good point.
And look, if we're all too sensitive to call them bullets, even though I believe they were named after a bullet train and not actually bullets that come out of a gun, find something. Literally anything else would be better than Wizards. The only name that I think is weaker is Magic, but at least it's in Orlando, so you're talking about the Magic Kingdom. It kind of makes sense, but that's probably a worse name than Wizards, I would say.
But we can all agree on this point.
What's that?
The form of music, jazz, stinks on ice.
Stinks on ice. One of the most overrated things on the planet.
Thank you very much. We can all agree on that point.
It's just for musicians. It's like musicians treating their body like an amusement park. They're just playing with themselves, and we have to sit around and pretend like we're entertained by it.
Correct.
Pound it up your pound hole.
It's almost as bad as Imagine Dragons, which apparently Vic is their number one fan. Another way to assail Vic on a Saturday afternoon.
If there's something bad on TV or coming out of your radio, Vic is a big fan of it. I know that much.
He certainly is.
All right, let's do this, Caxies. Let's pause for an update, and we'll switch gears. Nate Davis from the USA, as you guys would say, will take us around the NFL, and we can talk to him about his coworker, Mike Jones, just trashing Trent Williams' agent on my radio show yesterday. It is the CNC Radio Factory on 106.7 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.